G'day, Reece Downing here, and welcome to episode 17 of the Selection Bullet Points podcast. And make sure, as always, if you're going to be doing selection, make sure you check out operatoredge.com/indefatigable-video, and you can watch the demo video of the course I offer to help people prepare for selection. But let's get into today's podcast, and it's a little different one today. It's not specifically about selection, but you know, a lot of points that I'll cover you can certainly apply to selection, and I'll go through those as well. But today's episode is about the UTA 100 race. Well, it was a race for some people, not so much for me, but it was the Ultra Trail Australia running event that was held in the Blue Mountains. I think it was from the 13th to the 16th of May, so not last weekend, the weekend before. And I went down for it, entered in the 100K event. And you know, it was a tough event. All right, just to give you some, I guess, a little bit of background. I've been doing, or I've been into the endurance event over the last couple of years. Completed the 50K Coastal High trail race last year. Done a half Ironman, that kind of stuff. And for this particular race, I did a lot of training for it. Not just running, because you know, I did a lot of running training, obviously, but I also do jiu-jitsu, surf, and I play golf and that kind of stuff. So it wasn't the only thing that I'm doing and training for, but I certainly did a lot of prep for it. I definitely felt ready and sort of fully prepared as I wanted to be. Why was I doing it? Well, really just to test myself and you know, having something to train for. I think that's really, really important, doing something new. And I've never really considered myself to be a runner. But you know, I've found running quite enjoyable over the last 2 years, and improving my running, and being now 40, I'm a much better runner now than I ever was in my 20s, including when I went for selection. That's because I'm doing more running, but also doing the right running training as well, and just consistent in it. Time-wise, my last time trial for a 5K, I was about 20 minutes and 50, and my 10K, 44:20-odd, something like that. So, you know, certainly no, you know, not an elite level, that's for sure, but, you know, not too shabby either. So I'm enjoying my running, and I thought, let's go in the bigger events, endurance events, to sort of test where I was at. My expectations for it, based on, you know, my 50K trail race that I did last year, where it's about 7 hours 30. So I was thinking, you know, around 16 to 17 hours for it. Okay, if I haven't got, you know, around sort of lower 16 hours for it, I would have been pretty happy. And my training was consistent and everything with that pace to get sort of between 16, 16 and a half, and that's the time I expected. All right. So let's get into the actual race itself. First thing is, you know, down there this time of year, it starts to get pretty cold, and this year is actually one of the coldest they've had for this type of, for this time of year. It was bitterly cold, much, much colder than where I live up in the Northern Rivers. And so, you know, when I actually got down there, I thought I'll probably need something to help out on the day, because I didn't want to sort of, all the equipment that you have to carry is going to cover you in regards to, you know, the different kind of weather that might pop up. So you have your thermals and you have your fleece and all that kind of stuff. But for me, I didn't want to sort of wear that at the start, because you're going to get hot, or you're going to, you know, your body temperature is going to go up pretty quickly. So I ended up buying some arm warmers, and you know, you really don't want to sort of do anything new on the day, but these arm warmers that I got, it's not a significant change by any means, and they were absolutely gold, and I wore them throughout the race and took them on and off, and they were really easy. So that was probably one of the takeaways for that. My wave didn't really start. It started about just before 8 a.m. I was unseated, and so I had to go in the last wave. The seating for the event was kind of interesting. They had different ways you could be seated, so depending on what you expected your time to be overall. But then they took into account different races that you've done previously, but they didn't take into account my 50K for some reason. So a little bit strange, but didn't really matter anyway. So I started at the end, last wave, and what it meant is that during the race, there was quite, especially at the start, there was quite a bit of waiting. You know, you're kind of in a Congo line, waiting for other runners to get down, particularly the technical downhill sections. I was probably held up for sort of 10 to 15 minutes, but really I wasn't there to sort of compete at the upper echelons in the elite level, so it didn't really matter. And it was well, it was kind of, the event itself was quite well put together. Right, my race, so it started well. I went really conservatively. I was doing about, you know, I was aiming for about the 9 minute per kilometer, you know, over that sort of 100K. And it started well. I hit the first checkpoint, which was about 11K mark, and I filled my camel back up, no problem at all. And then the next leg went for around 21Ks, all right? And for me, that was going to take about 3 hours, and I hit the 32-kilometer checkpoint, all right, which I think was checkpoint two. I went to fill up my camel back, and I pulled it out, and I looked at it, and I went, oh, shit. And the reason I thought that is because I'd only consumed around 500 mils of fluid, and I knew I was in a little trouble, and dehydration was going to be a real concern. In an event like this, I knew I needed to be consuming around the 500 mils per hour of fluid. On a really hot day, me, and this is me personally, a really hot day, I might take it up to about 650 mils per hour. That's for this type of event, not really carrying a whole lot, running pretty slow, right? But if you're doing something like pack marching, remember when I did it, you're probably looking at up to a liter per hour if you're doing, you know, if you're going hard for, say, the 20 clicker time trial that you'll find on selection. But for this 100K event, 500 mils per hour would have been fine. And only having consumed the 500 mils between the 11K and the 32K mark, which took me around the 3 hours, I knew dehydration was a concern, and I really should have consumed anywhere from the 1.2 to 1.5 litres. So I knew I was in deficit. Regardless, though, at the 32K mark, I was conscious about upping my fluid intake. And the next checkpoint after that was at the 45K checkpoint. By the time I got to the 45K checkpoint, though, I certainly was not feeling too crash hot. Usually, I really, you know, I love smashing down the energy chews, which I take every half an hour, certain amount of carbs, certain amount of calories every hour. And for me, it was taking three of these chews every half an hour. But leading up to the 45K checkpoint became really difficult for me to eat. And that's when I just didn't feel like eating. I really was kind of dreading that every half an hour to eat. And that's when I knew, you know, I was dehydrated, and that had kind of set in. But I pushed through the 45K checkpoint, filled up my water bottles, tried to have some pizza shapes that I had. Couldn't really eat those. But I pushed on, got to the 50K mark, just under 8 hours, about 7:58. And I wasn't feeling too bad. But I knew, you know, I wasn't feeling that great either. So I was on point for the 16 to 17 hours total, I thought. Started, you know, to feel pretty ordinary. And by the time I got to the next checkpoint, which was checkpoint four, and that was at the 57K mark, honestly, I was pretty fucked, right? I walked into it was nighttime by then, I think it was about 8 o'clock at night. Walked into the big warm building that I can't remember what building it was, but it was a big building. And I was really dazed as I walk in there. I was feeling quite sick, not to the point of throwing up because I'd been drinking a lot more to up my sort of fluid intake, but definitely in the deep hole of dehydration, okay? I'd sort of dug myself that hole, and really once dehydration sets in, it's really hard to get over. If I'd just stopped, it would have been no dramas. I would have felt fine pretty quickly. But the fact is, I still wanted to keep moving. So you're just not going to feel great after you've sort of dug yourself that hole. But checkpoint four, it was quite an interesting view, actually. Many people had their support crew in there, and they were chowing down all sorts of hot food. Others were rugged up in blankets, sitting next to the big heaters trying to warm up, as it was pretty cold. I remember thinking, you know, it's going to be really tough for these blokes to get moving again. And I think a lot of people didn't get moving after that checkpoint, and they quit there. And I knew from being in the UTA 100 Facebook group and being told by the announcer actually at the start of the race that checkpoint four was where most people quit the race. And I could see why, all right, because by that stage you'd be going from, you know, anywhere, you know, probably 8, 9, 10 hours, some people even longer. And, you know, people are probably sore and start to get exhausted if they haven't trained for it and that kind of stuff. Getting pretty cold as well. You could see why people sort of pull the pin there. And many people in there looking around, many people in there were buggered at checkpoint 4. They were exhausted, they were cold, sore, beat down, and some by then had been defeated. Maybe they didn't do all the training required. Maybe they went too hard too early. Maybe they were coming down with hypothermia. Maybe they, like me, were dehydrated. Whatever the case, I could see a lot of people's race was coming to an end at checkpoint 4 in the building at the 57K mark. And really, honestly, brutally honestly, checkpoint 4 almost had me, all right? Almost had me beat. And now, I would say that I've done some pretty challenging and physically demanding activities in my life. Like selection was obviously being one of those things that was quite tough. Serving overseas in Afghan was certainly physically tough. However, at that moment, you know, sitting down on the floor next to the, you know, in the middle of the floor, really next to the watermelon and electrolyte stand at checkpoint 4, taking small, you know, micro bites of my muesli bar along with sips of hot tea, trying to turn that muesli bar into a kind of paste just to swallow it because I really couldn't eat anything. It was really hard to eat. And thinking of the 43 Ks I still had to go, the decision to actually get up and leave checkpoint 4 was definitely, it's the toughest call I've had to make for a very long time, all right? I'm not going to compare it to selection or anything like that, but it's one of the toughest sort of mentally challenging decisions I've had to make for quite a long time, all right? And it's really a decision which I wasn't sure I was actually going to make, all right, in actually being able to keep going. And this was purely because I was, you know, the dehydration I was feeling. You know, I just had no energy because I wasn't able to eat. I couldn't eat much. I wasn't sore at all. I didn't have any blisters. My muscles weren't cramping or anything like that, anything of that nature. I just felt like absolute shit. And anyone who's, you know, been in a dehydrated state, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. And what was more annoying is that I'm usually so disciplined about my fluid intake and really acutely aware of dehydration. And this goes back to my army days. I always seemed to drink more than other dudes in the army. So I was very conscious of staying hydrated. Never was dehydrated really in the army. Never went down with dehydration or anything like that. In previous events, I'd even had the timer on my watch. I'd set it to go off every 10 minutes to remind me to drink. But for some fucking reason, I didn't do it for this event. I had it more set on my watch for the triathlon app, and I just didn't set it for the running app. So there I was anyway, sitting in a heap on the ground at checkpoint 4 with 43Ks to go in this UDA 100 race, really chastising myself for allowing myself to become dehydrated while at the same time wondering how I was going to get through the remaining 43Ks. I was even wondering if it was safe for me to continue into the night as dehydrated as I was. You know, that was the safety point of view, going out in the night, you know, because a lot of times you're by yourself, especially the longer you get in the event, more people quit, more people spread out. So that kind of safety aspect sort of was coming into my head. And while a few things were going through my mind at that point, things like, you know, why I was doing it and what I wanted out of it, the fact that I'd gotten that far and all that kind of stuff, none of those things really seemed to move the needle and get me going. And finally, after about 20 minutes of attempting to recover and having, I probably had five different people that worked there, you know, volunteers actually say to me, you know, you all right. So I must, you know, I felt like shit. So I must have looked like shit in a bit of a daze. But after about that 20 minutes of kind of trying to recover, I simply said to myself, start packing your shit. Just start getting your equipment ready and go from there. That's it. Don't overthink it. Just pack your shit. And that was a real turning point for me, and it got me moving. So rather than thinking about all the what ifs and the whys and the hows, I just simply thought about filling my water bottles, reloading my pouches with my Clif Chews, putting on my fleece, my gloves, my headlight, my hoodie, and finally my Ultimate Direction running vest. And that was it. All right. After I'd done that, I stood there for a while sipping my tea and eating the small bites of a banana. And then I said to myself, start fucking walking, you know, which I did. I walked outside. I was hit by some pretty chilly Blue Mountains wind. Got my buff, pulled it out of my head, turned on my headlight and just began walking to the next checkpoint, which was a 69K mark. And it was basically from that point on, I couldn't run. I basically had to walk the next 43Ks, which safe to say took me much, much longer than I anticipated. And I actually started probably after an hour or two after, probably an hour after leaving checkpoint four between the 57 and 69K mark, I started to feel better. And I thought, oh, I've got this now. I'm going to finish it. And that's that bit of food I had sort of kicked in. That probably only lasted about 15 minutes. I went downhill again. I sort of had that waves of feeling a little bit better and then not. But basically, I just had to walk the rest of the way. The first 50K, a bit of a timeline here. The first 50K was just under that 8 hours. The final 50K took me 13 and a half hours. Total time was 21 hours and 31 minutes, all right? So I was 5 hours or so outside my expected finish time. And while I certainly wasn't happy, definitely wasn't happy in allowing myself to get into that dehydrated state, I was very happy with my decision and ability to be able to continue on to the finish line and actually finish the event, which I wasn't sure I was going to be able to do sitting down at that checkpoint four. I was able to really draw upon and apply a number of mental toughness techniques, which worked extremely well. I mean, after all, that's what, you know, that's another reason why I do these events, to sort of test the different techniques that I come across and before I like to put them in my course. But a couple of those techniques that worked that night was one, breaking the 43Ks down into 1K chunks and even further into smaller sections like a hill or a set of stairs, for example. And then I would give myself kudos and congratulate myself almost for reaching that point and really try and get that little bit of a dopamine hit to try and make me feel a little bit better for completing that one little section and then that 1K and then each new checkpoint that I got to. And number two, and this is a really good one, I would narrate the story in my head of how I was going to retell the story of this event. All right, and this is a really great technique, which I go through in detail in my Indefatigable course, and it works really well. It's basically as I'm going along, as I'm struggling, I'm just thinking about how I'm actually telling people later on how I finished the event, what I was going through. So it's narrating your end story, and it's a really great technique to keep me motivated because you want to tell a great story at the end, right? It's an even better story when you're really struggling. And the third one, positive self-talk, all right? After all, a tough event is what I wanted. That's why I signed up to 100K, all right? So during the last 40Ks, I'd really check my negative self-talk, which certainly crept in on occasions, even though I'm very aware of it. It still creeps in, and I had to check myself on the negative self-talk and remind myself that doing this, it was exactly what I signed up for. And also to be grateful for the opportunity to test myself, all right? An opportunity that many people just don't have for whatever various reasons. I had the ability and I guess the want to sign up and go down there and do that event. So that's what the positives I took out of it. And the fact that I was in the hole, I was really struggling. It was much harder than I thought. That's good. That's what I was fucking there for, to really test myself. All right. So they're probably the three takeaways, the breaking it down, narrating my story, and being positive and showing some gratitude for it, all right? So some really good mindset techniques there that helped me get through. But the takeaways from that whole event, okay? One, prepare well, all right? You must prepare as best as you can for a tough event and actually put in the work, all right? Whether that be a long endurance event or special operations selection, you know, you can't cuff it, or you'll be found out really quick, all right? You want to give the event or the activity the respect it deserves and actually put in the work so you can put in your best effort. Number two, things don't always work out the way you want, even with all the absolutely right and correct preparation. And it'll be up to you in that moment to be able to adapt on the day to continue forward, all right? You might not get the result you're after, but you can always get some valuable lessons from it. And even though the UTA 100 didn't go as planned for me, I certainly got much, much more valuable mindset training from it than I expected, all right? Which turned out to be a really awesome experience. Three, be realistic with your expectations, all right? With the amount of training I did, 16 to 17 hours was a realistic time frame. Sub 14 hours was not. If I'd tried to push for a sub 14 hours, I would have blown out in the first 50K and probably wouldn't have finished, all right? If you're training for SF selection, for example, let's talk about the 20-kilometer stomp. Let's be realistic about the 20K stomp. If it's not your strong suit, you want to aim for around the 3 hours, okay? Don't try and go sub 2:30 because you see some dude blow past you on the stomp. If you do, you'll blow out and you'll fail and selection will be over, all right? So be realistic with your expectations, taking into account your training, preparation, and abilities, all right? And even capabilities throughout your training cycle, injuries and sickness and that kind of stuff. And four, use all available technologies at your disposal, i.e. use your watch, you know, set an alarm on your watch that will prompt you to eat and drink, all right? I know I definitely will be from now on. Okay, so that was my wrap up for and lessons learned and takeaways from my Ultra Trail Australia 100. You know, some valuable, like I said, certainly much tougher than I'd expected, but I certainly got a lot more mindset-wise out of it, all right? And it's good to be able to pass those lessons on to anyone who's listening to this, whether you're doing selection or not. You know, you're getting some great points out there for you to apply for your event, whatever it is, you know, you're going after. So if you have any questions at all, make sure you reach out. You can email me, reeseoperatoredge.com. You can hit me up on my Operator Edge Facebook page, or you can hit me up on Instagram, reese_dowden as well. But that's it. Really hope you got a lot out of this podcast, and I will see you in the next one. Thanks.